Blog Talk Radio.
Can't do that today.
Umbalaya. Umbaruski.
He said, I'm married to Geronimo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Straight Talk, No Change, we're back in the building after a significant hiatus.
After vacation, man, you're back in town.
You know, niggas had shit to do, niggas had places to go, niggas had people to see. You know what it is. I am your gracious host, Trip Simpson, alongside our other host, Cosby Digital.
What up?
And our other host, Kirkland Costco Keys. It's late as a motherfucker, so we're not going to spend too much time on too much shit that isn't relevant to current events. However, I would like to allow the co-host to let everybody know what's going on with them this week and how they're doing. Kirk, we'll start with you.
What's up, y'all?
Ain't shit, man.
Good to see you too, man.
Like, you got a tan down there in Alabama, man.
Man, now the tan ain't from Alabama. The tan from baseball season being back. I'll be outside of these practices, games, and all of that. Coaching. So I'll be outside in that sun. And the last 2 days have been happy. So that's where the tan came from. But you like, you got a tan from Colombia, from out of Mexico travel, not a foreign travel. I ain't been out of the country yet.
Oh, man, that's my pandemic. That's my motherfucker stuck at home.
Tulip. He called you Tulip Trip Simpson. Who now? But Trip Tulip.
Going down there with a partner with Birmingham to the Rice Institute to build out an app to tell our history. You know, start right there. Project C. We were talking about the youth, you know, Project C was in kids, at school and went and protested out at the park. And Bull Connor had a fire hose and all that stuff on them. So those people are elders now, and they are all still like very connected to the Civil Rights Institute, and so we're connected to children, so we can put it in the app, so we like school. It can be like Netflix, like
Did you ever hear the episode with Trip Simpson say all they did was get their ass whooped on the bridge?
My thoughts haven't changed.
Mr. Digital, what do you got? Hey, man, shout out to y'all. I miss y'all guys, man. And sit down and chop it up in a long time, man. Shit, man. You know how you call me, the Doble Hustle, man. You say whatever I hustle this week. Pain set, vendor market.
What you got there? You said pain pills?
Pain set.
Oh, pain pills. Oh, shit. Fucking scoundrel.
Yeah, Tacoma Face of Cattle, pain set every Wednesday. We sold out every Wednesday. Did you take it early?
Shit, that's what's up. But look, I want to get into the topics tonight. Y'all know we got to talk about Kwame Brown. Yeah, I know we got to talk about Kwame Brown. I want to talk about Kwame Brown, and I also want to talk about the possibility, or whether you guys think that there is a shift happening in the Black American narrative. When I mean shift, I mean, is the alpha male starting to take its natural place in the pecking order of Black society? But before we get to that, there's two things I want to talk about. The first thing is, you simple ass niggas and your criticism of people who have gotten PPP loans. If Negrodom has gotten to a new low, the government is giving out money to companies and sole proprietors who need it. And once again, Negroes have made a joke out of it and haven't even taken advantage of it. Cosby Digital, let's start with you.
Well, it's the classic I don't understand it, so I'm going to bash it scenario, right? And the media does a good job of highlighting stories where people have taken money and done outrageous things, buying houses, Rolex, and all the things. When even in the name, it tells you what the loan source, the payroll protection program. So God forbid if you got some money, even if you didn't have payroll yet, set up a payroll and pay yourself.
Right.
Pay some people. Even if your business wasn't all the way legit, set the business up because they gave you the money so you can stimulate the economy, so you can hire people. So even if you weren't quite sure what to do, set up a payroll and hire some people and do a bit. But I feel bad for the people who didn't take advantage of it. They leave the money on the table. And
they certainly are.
Hey, I didn't leave mine on the table, so I mean, I can't. You can lead a horse to water with 10 minutes. that was an option. But I will say it's been a misinformation campaign a little bit in the media of highlighting the down stories versus there are probably 1,000 success stories. Like, I know a few success stories of people getting money, starting businesses, having a food truck, or being able to keep their employees. Shout out to one of my business partners, April Richardson, right? She runs DC Sweet Potato Cake, right? She got money. She was able to keep her employees on. She was able to hire people. She was able to keep me on contract because of paycheck protection. Shout out one of my other clients, Falk Hill. These companies who got loans, they were able to pay employees. Black businesses were able to pay employees, keep people staffed, keep families fed. So for the people who criticize it, I would say tell the good with the bad. Just don't tell the bad. But that's the media. We like sensational stories. We don't like practical truth.
Yo, and that's a fact, man. Like, I mean, for a person who has a business, I mean, I definitely took advantage of the PPP situation. I mean, the bottom line is this, man. The reason why I think that we have a problem in general in this country as Black Americans is that we don't read laws and we don't take advantage of the laws that are in place. And as long as we continue to do that, we're going to be behind. So instead of making a joke and pulling up the list and seeing who got PPP, nigga, go to your bank and get a PPP loan.
I'm sorry.
The fuck are you smoking?
I think people got to be set up to actually go get PPP.
I mean,
and I don't think a lot of people are. And I don't think they know.
Man, it was so much information out there. Shout out to Tripp Simpson. He hit me early last year. But they had so much money, they were literally running ads and giving people referrals to have other people fill out PPP. So don't let the news fool you. The Wamplies, the Blue Acorns, the banks, they are literally running ads, spending money to get people to spend money because they understand if all this money is not exhausted by the next budget, they're not going to get that money next year. We all work in organizations that we know if you don't spend the budget gets smaller the next year. So the media is doing a good job bashing people who have, you know, misuse the program. Because you got any program, you're going to have fraud. Any government program, you're going to have fraud. The biggest fraudsters in the country when it comes to Medicare, Medicaid, and food stamps are in the state of West Virginia, and they don't look like us.
That's a fact.
So any government program, you're going to have fraud and waste.
I mean, and just keep in mind, the government is here to distribute resources. That's what politics is all about.
And all of y'all people who've been paying taxes for the last 10 years, 20 years, these are tax dollars being redistributed. So technically it's your money that they decided to give back to you. This is tax dollars. You pay sales tax, you pay income tax, you're taxed at a very high rate in America, so you should have access to these things.
Exactly. So like I want to get that in real quick. So before, like I said, before we get into the Kwame Brown shit, I want to talk about our favorite doctor on the show.
Dr. Umar Johnson.
He's
going to pull up on you. Keep talking.
I just want to show you guys the latest.
He's going to pull up on you, Tripp.
I just want to show you guys the latest in Dr. Umar Johnson's shenanigans. I got to show you this before we get to our regular
show. Are we talking about him beefing with Kevin Samuels?
No.
That was a pretty funny beef.
It's even better. It's even better. Let's go. Just keep watching.
Nigga,
what?
Come on, man. We're picking on this man at this point.
I
can't do this shit, man. Eat for Tuesday style.
These things are weird.
All right, let's stop this. Let's stop this right here. Let's stop this right here. Let's stop this shit right here. My nigga, Ifatunde is gambling away your motherfucking donation.
Your gifts and your donations.
Yo, can we please put this nigga Umar to sleep? Can we please stop? Hold on. Shout out to Umar Johnson.
He's gonna pull up on you, Chris. I'm telling
you. My nigga, hold up though. You at the casino with the motherfucking donations. You at the casino with the donations.
No guarantees for this.
Where's the Umar? Yo, where are my Umar niggas at? Yo, the phone number is 914-205-5425. I ain't on that. Ain't nobody gonna call it late as shit, but my nigga. What the fuck is going on? We're taking calls tonight. If you call the number, we should see it. But goddamn, Umar Johnson is now gambling with the last bit of the school money.
Hey, look.
I wish I had a button that said cocaine.
When he was on the Breakfast Club, he said all he needed was a free electrician. And
right.
Look. When you see a nigga at a casino in the middle of the daytime, that was about like a 3 o'clock in the afternoon video.
Man, it's a shit was like it was 6 o'clock.
No. It's a problem. It's a fucking problem, man.
Casino is the same.
It's a problem.
Fight all the time.
Yo, that nigga's fucking wild, man. Like,
and what was it? Ain't no, is it casinos in Philly? What is he in? He probably in Atlantic City.
Casinos in Philly.
I mean, who cares where he was?
I had one of my biggest.
Who cares where he was?
It's one new.
The nigga started off saying he needed 1.5 million. Then he said, really, we need two. Then the fucking jackpot said 1.2. This is what we need, family. This is what we need. I don't know. I don't get it.
A broken clock is right quite today. Who am I going with a broken clock category for me?
Yeesh. I don't know, man. He's like a broke-ass clock. Once every couple of days.
He's a sundown.
He got one of our GPS clocks.
Yeah, the clock never worked at GPS.
The clock always was at the wrong time on a different time every day. In GPS.
That's crazy. It was, though. But the bells worked at the right time. They did this with the casino move.
That nigga Umar the GPS clock, my nigga. So, look. All right. Fuck Umar. Fuck the people in New Orleans. I just wanted to talk about that shit real quick. All right. Let's get into the story of the motherfucking week. So, as we all know, a couple of days ago, 2 days in a row, over all the smoke podcasts, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson spent 2 days in a row, or two podcasts in a row, talking about Kwame Brown and in my opinion, it wasn't so much that they talked about how he was a bust. I think it was the comment when they basically made him invisible that probably set him off. When they were like, well, yeah, it was Carmen Brown there too. And then, like, one of them said, oh, that doesn't count. He basically wasn't there. Like, basically, he was a nobody. And I think that set Kwame Brown on a series of rants where he aired these niggas completely the fuck out to the point of no coming back. To the point of if they see this nigga, it's got to be a fight. There's no coming back from that shit, if you ask me. Kwame Brown went all the way in. Kwame Brown went all the way in. And I think Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson have yet to redeem themselves. And not only was it Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, Charlamagne Tha God, Jemele Hill, fucking Chris Broussard, what's the, my man from First Take?
Stephen A. Smith.
All of these clown ass things got their ass aired out by Kwame Brown, and it was, and he still, matter of fact, I think he live right now.
He might be.
A series of epic rants over and over and over again. And I don't have to say, before I even get into my thoughts, I completely agree with Kwame Brown. Kirk, how do you feel?
I mean, I agree with him as well. I feel like it's a pent-up
moment. Oh, real quick, shout out to Kwame Brown. We drinking 1738 tonight. For Kwame Brown. Shout out to Kwame Brown.
It's more about it's more about his emotions and feelings and how pent up all of this you can tell has been. Because he's really sat back and since like they
you can
stay back and it still be coming off.
I feel like these bitch ass niggas just set him on a roll.
Yeah.
Cause it ain't even about them niggas no more.
But what I'm saying is the fact that he's been silent since his bust drastic, he ain't talked for real since then. And then he comes out and give you a week worth of rent. That's
if you watch a YouTube page, he talks.
I don't be watching
YouTube page. So I haven't watched it until this shit happened. But I look at like prior shit that he's been talking before he's talking. Like if them niggas would have been paying attention to his YouTube page, they would have known they should say nothing to this
nigga. I feel like, I mean, he definitely stating facts, and he's also pointing out how, like, the media uses it to play against each other all the time.
I mean, I think the best thing that he pointed out to me was that he was like, I'm not here to talk about whether I'm a bust or not. I don't care about that. It's basketball. I got paid.
He's like, there's a certain level you got to be at. You beat
the bottom.
Get, like, he was the number one pick. He didn't get no college time.
Nigga made $64 million throughout his whole career.
Number one pick out of high school.
Right, 17 years old.
Tons of ways his route could have taken him. That could have made him another 10 dozen for all we know. But his route didn't take him that way. He got drafted out of high school and then went to a bum organization. That never helped nobody.
And look, then who had to play? Who had to play him? Michael fucking Jordan.
And that was his pick, too. Which is also a unique situation. Ain't too many owners out here picking people as
players. I don't know. Michael Jordan is the best judge of talent.
Well, but that's the whole point.
Well, Brahmi even said Michael Jordan picked them to send them to the Bulls.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been picked to do that in the first place. Like, he shouldn't have been picked number one. He shouldn't have been picked drafted straight out of high school. But that's on him for even going into the draft. You know what I'm saying?
That year.
What I'm saying is, like, you give him some more development and all that type of stuff, you don't know where his shoe draft is.
He jumped out there, though.
Yeah, and that's on him.
To be honest with you, I think that's the best thing he could have did was come out number one in the draft. Fuck the rings, fuck the stats, and fuck the win.
He had the chip.
I got $64 million. I came to the league at 17 and I left at 30.
So that easy,
with $64 million.
That's easy to say of us talking on the couch there and never made $64 million. The dudes that were talking about him all made more money than him and had better careers. So we got to keep this shit in context. And it ain't like it's some bum niggas sitting around talking about it.
But they are bum niggas. They are bum niggas.
Gil is a Hall of
because
Fame.
The niggas,
no. Gil is a Hall of Fame.
No. But Gil called him and apologized. Gil called him and apologized. He left Gil alone. After the first rant on Gil, he was like, all right, Gil, all right. He called me to apologize.
Because Gil kept the basketball.
No. Gil didn't want that smoke no more.
Hold on. On that episode of All the Smoke.
Gil was still trying to act like a good guy, but Kwame was like, nah, fuck you.
Did Gil keep the basketball? Yes or no?
He did.
He kept the basketball. So if it's a basketball show and they talking about former teammates,
but
the show is called
All the Smoke.
With athletes talking about sports.
So my nigga, if you want all the smoke, then get it.
Oh, they gave him the smoke back though.
No, they didn't.
Matt Barnes didn't give him the smoke back.
Matt Barnes. What'd he say? You hopped the gate and rolled your ankle out for 4 weeks.
Matt said, come on the show if you want to box me with a show. Matt Barnes,
I'm going to say it right here. Right, Matt Barnes is a bitch ass nigga for that. Because at first, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, when he clapped back at first, he said, oh man, it's all jokes. So he like, fine, it's all jokes. So he got the jokes going. Now, Matt Barnes wants to fight.
But how many times you going to let a nigga call you a bitch ass nigga?
Bruh. It's jokes.
Nah, ain't no jokes. You keep saying, you bitch ass nigga.
Hey,
and he said, all right.
I got Kwame Brown.
I got Barbie got beating the dog shit out of me.
Well, it's only a few niggas
that
documented from going to whoop niggas' ass, and Matt Barnes is one of them.
Man, get the fuck out of here, man.
I'm just saying, it's only a few niggas
for
putting hands on niggas.
The reason why I love...
Who's documented putting hands on me?
Who do you put hands on?
Derek Fisher.
That's because Derek Fisher was boning his wife.
And he put hands on him.
Okay, he's still boning your wife.
He put hands on him.
Yo,
he told him, this is what I'm going to do, Derek. I'm going to drive X amount of hours.
You want to go whoop a nigga ass who's boning your wife?
As a man, hold on. As a man that you
nigga, I'm not
fucking
know
with, your man not supposed to fuck with your wife.
Nigga, I've already been through it.
Is your man supposed to fuck with your wife?
I don't give a fuck.
No, it's not. If you care about it or not.
But he a light-skinned ass nigga who doesn't fear going to jail. They was trying to set Kwame Brown up.
Can you relate to that?
Come fight me. Then Charlamagne and them talking about his daddy's a killer. His mom's a killer. All that bullshit. Yeah. Setting him up. Get the fuck out of here. Then Jamel Hill talking about he violent. None of that shit even happened.
He was talking tough.
How tough he talked?
If you talking about...
He said you too busy. he told that nigga him and his wife was fighting over the motherfucking bag to put on their head.
That shit was funny.
He said, my dark skin energy will come out and I just, you know, we jealous about your hatred. He said, nigga, I just rub your hand in the dirt.
So at the same time, he decries his colorism on this show. We make life skin jokes.
I don't give a fuck about that shit.
He was like, what do you mean? But now,
I don't give a fuck about that shit. So a lot of bitch ass life skin hangs out here. So I get it. Just don't put me in that category. First of all, I don't have the light skin hair.
Hey, if he had his Matt Barnes hair, he'd be with it. He's like, nigga, I don't have that hairline. What that nigga? We don't relate.
Yo, I mean, like, this nigga, Kwame Brown's punchlines just kept coming one after two after three. But it's not even really about the punchline to me. It was
50% substance, 50% funny.
But you know what? He has to keep it funny. But the substance was, these people that have been at the forefront of black media, and in his case, black sports media, are compromised. They all are. Everybody who he went at is a compromised individual. And they have done compromisable, if that's a word, things.
I don't fuck with Stephen A in terms of, I feel like he's been tapped in.
He said, you should pull your motherfucking, pull your hairline back. He said, I've been a white man, a bald white man.
I don't fuck with Envy. You know what I'm saying?
He did Envy dirty.
Jamel Hill.
I don't fuck with Jamel either.
I mean, she has a history.
That article that she wrote last year, Black Men Are the White Men, of whatever she wrote, that was a bullshit.
So, but I fuck with Charlamagne.
Charlamagne,
you gotta, I gotta look at niggas' track record. Like, if you pull up everybody 20 years past, you know what I'm saying, what niggas do, and especially when niggas put their shit on record. It wasn't nothing that was a bombshell thing.
It don't matter.
Let me finish. Wasn't something you dug up. Niggas admit what they did wrong in their youth and they past and pay the consequence for it. Right? Well, that's a different thing between if he was like, he's going around being a scumbag, he's doing that these days and he's preaching something different. The context he put in, even when he told the story, like, I was fucked up then. I was doing shit I wasn't supposed to. I was selling crack. I was running around. He was going around doing what niggas do. So, but he told his own story, and he talked about how he paid a consequence for it.
He told it as a joke.
No, he didn't tell it.
Yes, he did.
In the right book.
I don't read.
All right. That means you're not knowledgeable on the whole situation. He talked about this story several times. So it ain't no bomb.
But he said he did it. He played no contest.
Did he go to court?
He played no contest.
Did he do it in court? Is it public record?
Yo, he actually raped that girl.
It's public record.
He actually raped
it. It's public record. And he paid the consequence for it. It's different than, Kwame Brown dug up some shit from 20 years ago that he was trying to hide. Then I would have some respect for him. I don't got respect for that. You tearing down a man that's using his platform.
Well, hold up.
Hold up. Don't cut
you off. No. I got to cut you off because the only reason you did that to him is because Charlamagne Tha God started talking about, well, Matt Barnes is my friend. And keep in mind that Kwame Brown's dad went to jail for murder. Kwame Brown's brother went to jail for murder. Kwame Brown's sister did this to somebody. Why are you bringing up my family? Why don't you bring up any of the points?
Who brought up somebody's past first?
Charlamagne Tha God. That's the only reason that he went at Charlamagne. The only reason he went at Charlamagne is because Charlamagne Tha God.
Charlamagne didn't give him Dunkin' today.
Charlamagne, it was on the rumor report. Angela Yee was talking about it, and then Charlamagne Tha God and DJ Envy weighed in on the situation. Charlamagne started talking about, his father did this, his brother did that, and his sister did that.
That was a devil murder?
First of all, he didn't know his father. He didn't know that brother or that sister. He met both of them at their father's and his father's funeral. Why are you bringing up all this shit about me without even having a conversation with me? Because you're trying to start a narrative that I'm dangerous and I'm violent when that's not the case. I'm roasting these niggas on the internet. And you bringing up all this other shit that don't got nothing to do with me. So, of course, after that, nigga, you a rapist. Boy, go ahead. It ain't nothing else to say. You actually raped somebody. I did. Hello?
Which would be crazy, because that's real. And that's the only gripe I have with Charlamagne, that he be putting cards for no reason. And I think one thing I can't commend him on is he'll see in hindsight how he did these things sometimes, and he will, not necessarily apologize, but at least acknowledge that he did it. I heard that he did that one. But that's commendable. But yeah, he definitely pulls cards. You know, but I don't think he's compromised with everybody else either.
I do feel like Charlamagne. I feel like he's probably the most compromised.
Charlamagne's the only motherfucker that said cracker on TV.
That doesn't mean that's the reason why I don't think he's compromised. I think he's not compromised because the Breakfast Club has changed the ways of how TV, not even TV, of how media is viewed and hits the internet and streams, all of that. And in doing that, they given a lot of people platforms who wouldn't have platforms, deserve platforms, but they're going to actually.
Like who?
They black entrepreneurs on, they put on thousands of black
men. Yeah,
like who? Because I feel like the only real,
from real estate.
But I feel like the only real niggas that actually come on their show, they're forced to put them on there because they don't have no choice.
They're not forced to put Claude Anderson on the Breakfast Club.
Man, every show during the election, if you read the comments, which I do, they were pressing the Breakfast Club, put Claude Anderson on.
Claude Anderson been on three times.
And it ain't even about whether people are pressing them or not. Like, they don't have to respond to the comments. They don't have to respond to the comments. They have to. People are asking them to put them on because they recognize they have a platform that people watch.
You play chess, right?
Information.
You play chess, right? How dangerous is Claude Anderson at 89 years old?
I mean, at 89, he's not that dangerous. But what he still is the fact that he's written books that people can then go
think about what they're doing there.
Hold on. He's written books that people can go receive and pick up, and he didn't have a platform prior to that he could have ever passed that knowledge on to anybody.
But now those people
who are watching this show and see him talk about these books and hear other people who may mention these books as well as like references that people need to
read.
And
they put people won't touch. They put Farrakhan.
They won't put him on no more.
And the fact that he was on there, all of these people are on it because Charlamagne is doing
something. Especially with Black YouTube, because Black YouTube is a force to be reckoned with at this point. Right?
No, the fuck it's not.
Yes, it is. You're like a fucking fool. Listen, you at this point in the internet game, you have to allow people, especially prominent internet voices, to get or you're not going to seem like a credible source. You can't just keep putting these lame ass cookie-cutter liberals on there that say the same old shit every time your show comes on. Because for the most part, that's who's on there. Then every 6, 7, 8 months, they'll put a real nigga on there.
I think that, for one, I think the cookie-cutter liberals are only on there during political season.
I mean, they're on there all the time, bro. When I say cookie-cutter liberals, I'm not talking about just political pundits. I'm talking about...
I actually didn't finish my point first.
You definitely stopped.
Yes, they did. You know I don't start talking to y'all. Shut the fuck up. So you don't even sit here act like you ain't finished.
Hello,
you
finished.
Don't overtalk.
Yeah, right? Don't talk over me, Kurt.
For one, I think the liberal pundits and shit are only going there during election season. Number two, we're on there like a little more consistently these last 4 years because they've been on there trying to tear down Trump the whole time. But prior to that, they weren't even all that political, to be real. They got political when it came down to, like, the Bernie Sanders and Bernie versus Joe
in the primary.
Even before that. But, yeah, that too.
They started getting Bernie and all of that, not even this last year.
I'm talking, like, even before Trump was in.
Yeah.
When it was Trump, Biden.
16. 2016, 2017.
Yeah, that's when they really got heavy into politics. Prior to that, they were really just putting black, whether it be
economics, real estate agents,
whether it be historians, they put black people on who are hip. Like they gave Dick Gregory a platform before he passed. Like
Dick Gregory had a platform.
They gave him a national platform.
Nobody's watching Dick Gregory
if he
didn't get on the Breakfast Club. I'm not saying like he don't have a platform. I'm saying the amount of people that you will know the demographics of the Breakfast Club, bro.
How old is Dick Gregory? Dick Gregory was on the Breakfast Club talking about talking out of the neck. And I love Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory was a great man.
We can get off Dick Gregory. Literally,
This is the show that has the biggest black.
God damn.
The biggest platform. They don't have to kowtow to anybody. They can bring the top artists on.
Oh, my God.
The top whoever's on. And nobody's going to question them.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the record, I don't give a fuck about being on no goddamn Breakfast Club.
And that's all. Just say that.
But you can't have your cake eating too. So like, oh, they compromised. But then you don't give a fuck about it.
Once it's not a black hole. It's not a black hole.
Once we start naming all the people.
And they do bad. They do bad compromising shit.
Hold on. Once we start naming all the people he likes to quote on the show that's been on the Breakfast Club.
Who the fuck I quote on the show?
Umar Johnson. Louis Farrakhan.
That got your favorite
one. Yvette Carnell. All the people.
Yvette wasn't on there.
Yes, she has.
That's a lie.
Everybody's been on there.
Yeah. Google it. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
They don't put
nobody that's worked, that has a valid.
But Charlamagne
be the one.
So Charlamagne is on, but Charlamagne, never been on. But hold on. But Charlamagne is on record big enough. He's not. Eat
that
internally.
That's not true.
Yes, the fuck it is.
He has never done it.
How much you want
to bet? I bet you a million. I bet you.
Let's bet.
I bet you
three shots. We're going to bet three Remy shots that I can pull that shit up. And we just put some little people that you quote.
Pull it up.
You quote Farrakhan all the time.
Pull it up.
You quote.
Pull it up. Pull
this
shit up.
He quotes Dick Gregory. He quotes, what's my man name?
When did I ever quote Dick Gregory?
Saul Williams on this.
Show me RZA Islam, and I never quote RZA Islam.
I heard you quote RZA. You be reposting.
Bro, you just making shit up. You ain't never heard me quote RZA Islam. What? No. You never, and I have no problem with him, but I don't. I've never quoted RZA Islam.
Couple of them other
niggas wild. Niggas telling me I quoted all these niggas.
The other light skinned one.
I don't quote
him. Farrakhan Jr. was on there.
You talking about Wesley Muhammad?
Yeah.
I don't quote him.
You in alignment with the light skinned Muslims.
Bro.
Are you not in alignment with the light skinned Muslims?
Here's the thing. The only nigga that has a relevant message that's been on the Breakfast Club and has not even been a year is Tariq Nasheed. So I give him credit for that.
He definitely was on it last year.
No, he wasn't.
Pre-pandemic, he was on it.
Oh,
we got
nigga, speak some facts.
He was promoting Mixed Live.
Speak some facts.
Tariq's my man. You know what? He was promoting the 18th, the Haiti.
The nigga said last year.
Hold on. I'm saying when we say last year, we got to skip the pandemic year. You always got to skip.
What year is that? 2018, my nigga. He just had a new documentary came out called Buck Breaking. He just got a new documentary out called Buck Breaking. I bet you the Breakfast Club will never bring him on there to talk about that. Never.
So they've given all these people platforms that you quote.
And he already had a platform.
That's what I'm saying.
They already have a platform.
Obviously they have a platform already. That's why they put him on there. What I'm saying is they are giving them their platform to speak what it is that they are about.
It's like
other people about something. And
it wouldn't be no
Umar.
It wouldn't be no Umar Johnson. It wasn't for Tariq Nasheed because he gave the hidden colored platform to raise his platform.
I look at it like this. Anything that's going to affect us in the present day, like for us, we're all fans of Kevin Samuels here, right? Well, I wouldn't say fans, but we fuck with Kevin Samuels. They talking shit about Kevin. They're trying to cancel.
No, Envy is.
Angela Yee was too.
Charlamagne ain't saying shit about it.
It's Charlamagne's show.
He ain't saying shit about it.
It's chess, not checkers.
Did he say something about Kevin saying?
It's chess, not checkers.
And if you listen to Brilliant Idiots, they fuck with Kevin saying.
That's all I'm saying is, Charlamagne, whether the show is talking about it,
don't even bring up Brilliant Idiots.
Charlamagne
ain't talking about it. That's Andrew Schultz's show, so.
Nah,
it is. He's the closest to
you can be on somebody's show and not agree with. We on the same show. I don't agree with half the shit you say.
That's because you want to be on them shows.
I don't care about being on them shows. I care about my own platform.
You want to be on the Breakfast Club talking about feminism and shit. Women's rights.
Look, he was looking at you for the cosign. See?
I don't need no cosign.
He was. He's like,
Kirk, you know him right now. You know him right. I can see Cole and Dad with a bandana on, like,
what is right?
Oh, he stopped me.
Hey, look.
Yo, Remy Martin.
I already knew this show was going left when I seen the whole fifth of 1738 on the table.
That's not a fifth.
I'm like,
that's a
like half gallon.
He's a motherfucking
leader. So when I saw that leader on the table, I knew this was going to be a roller coaster of a show.
You do that?
I already do.
Well, look. All of
he got a slow build.
So look.
By minute 45, he's going to start turning red and start yelling.
I mean,
no, no! No, no!
So look. All right. So, Rory Brown, Kevin Samuels.
Let's get
here's the new question. Because I, regardless of how we feel about his career,
yeah,
I do believe that Kwame Brown really, his point was to say that black men need to get more respect when we're in the media and all that other shit. I think that was
his main point. I think that was bullshit, and I'll tell you why.
Well, you're a feminist. But anyway.
So first of all,
I'm not
a feminist. Second of all, let's break down the shit he's actually saying.
The point that I kept seeing him circle back to was niggas with integrity, niggas being real alpha men leading the charge. Instead of having these bitch-ass niggas like Matt Barnes, like Stephen A. Smith, like DJ Envy, like Charlamagne Tha God on the forefront who sit up and conform to women like bitches.
Number one. Who the fuck looks to
that's what they
DJ Envy for any type of male leadership? That's number one. No fucking body. So that was like an easy, that was a low-hanging fruit. DJ Envy. Like, that was easy, right? Who the fuck is looking to Matt Barnes for leadership in the community?
Did you hear what you said about DJ Envy?
I did. But DJ, he's been looking like a sucker, though.
That nigga said, you can't even cheat right, nigga. He said, you cheat like a bitch. He said, you cheated. He said, the bitch, have you gone across the country on a leash, apologizing to all these hoes you don't even know? He said, the bitch had you on the view, apologizing to the bitch.
Hey, but he's been looking like a sucker. But the bad part is, nobody's looking, holding DJ Envy up and like, man, I'm trying to be like that. No. Do you know what I mean? Be like, everybody else and nobody. That's the perfect joint. Nobody's like looking at DJ Envy like that. Nobody's looking at Matt Barnes like that.
That's
anything, true. They like, well, this Matt Barnes will whoop a nigga ass over this bitch. Like, he's going to do something. Nobody's looking at these. His argument he's making.
Bro, if you fuck another, if my girl fuck another nigga, and it's my friend, you did me a favor, money. Thanks. Thanks for telling me. Thanks for getting it, making it true. I'm more about my thing.
You sneaking around your girl's ass. Don't say if it's some real shit. You say, hey,
if you my nigga, you'll send me the video so I have an easier time.
The real nigga is gonna say,
oh, you
look, man. Hey, look, your wife is on some wild ex. Your ex, I don't know y'all niggas that you trying to bust it down. What's up?
Send me the video.
And if that nigga
that's
say,
all I want. Send me the
that
video.
That nigga say, run it. If not, but them niggas they sneaking around.
My nigga, send me
you
the video.
You sneaking around, you gotta catch the face.
You don't gotta sneak and fuck my girl. If you can fuck her, be a real friend, fuck her,
and send me
the video.
But Derrick Fisher wasn't keeping it 100. Because, look, if it's my ex-wife, right, and she come at you, I know what you gonna do. You my ass. What's going on with y'all? You out here wilding.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Slim, hey, it's a green light. Do your thing. We good. Matt, Fish ain't do that. He snuck around. They was sneaking around. You gotta catch that face. So, for
Kwame, wasn't Derrick Fisher and Matt Barnes his coach at the time?
Nah, his coach. His mentor.
I thought you got a youngin and you be like, oh man, I coach a girl. I caught him living, man. Like, he had slam dunked in me. What you gonna, no, you can't do that, bro. You can't do that. You gotta catch his face for that. The only reason they talk about you
because
you was the number one pick in the draft.
They been flaming this nigga for 20 kids. Nigga said, fuck it, I'm going to flame these niggas now.
And look, and if you're an all-time bust, you got to take it. Anthony Bennett ain't getting on TV talking about nothing. He just went back to obscurity. You even know what Anthony Bennett is?
Anthony Bennett must have been a bitch-ass nigga.
You know what I'm saying?
Kwame Brown is not a bitch-ass nigga. So Kwame Brown said, you know what? This time, I want the smoke.
That nigga's a nigga talking about niggas on the internet making fun of them because
when they talk about him
on the internet.
They not know what to
say. Like,
they talked about him first.
In the context of sports.
Get the fuck out of here.
The context.
No. They said some real ho shit about him.
What was the thing that you felt like they said?
They said he didn't even exist. And I think that's the problem.
Was it in the context of sports?
He said he got traded for Paul Gasol and Mark Gasol. I mean, Paul Gasol, Mark Gasol and Kwame got traded for Paul Gasol. And they basically said the brother got traded for each other. He said Kwame
didn't do it again.
I mean, that's saying that man didn't.
But they did not only say that, right? This was the second podcast in the world that they were talking about Kwame Brown. Because the first podcast, they were talking about him in front of, I can't remember, what's the white girl's name that was on there? The podcast before that. There's a white girl on there. Yeah. My man.
Play for the Lakers.
My man, look.
So this is the thing. If they was like, man.
The name of the podcast is called All the Smoke. If you want all the motherfucking smoke, take all the smoke.
Well, Matt took it.
No.
Matt said, come to the show.
Matt got it.
He said, hold on. Matt said, come to the show. And we can talk about this and do whatever you want to do.
And Kwame said, I'm not playing with none of you bitch-ass niggas. Because
that's the thing.
No. He said, you want me to come to the show. You already called me. Your bitch already called me Violet. Right? Your bitch already called me Violet. And then your homeboy already said, my father's the killer, my brother's the killer, and my sister's the killer. They're painting a narrative. And that's that dumb shit. He's ducking the face. They're grown men. I'm going to go fight a grown-ass man because we going back and forth on the internet.
You don't call nobody no bitch-ass niggas. You ain't ready to fight.
And did people ever find out that Katie and what's that white dude's name?
They never have.
Real? Is it real? I know they ain't actually fighting. That was real. That's weird.
But anyway.
What about, hey, look, you don't, there's two things you don't do. You don't invite a man to your dick. You don't call a man a bitch-ass nigga unless you're ready.
Well, Matt Barnes invited him to his dick.
Is he ready to fight?
Is he ready to fight?
That's what I'm saying. He want all the smoke.
Nobody can see your dick.
We can't be. I'm not going to sit on here and praise Kwame Brown. I'm gonna praise him when he say his real shit. Well, the nigga say, all right, all the talking is done. Let's come talk in person. Or let's throw these hands. Or shut the fuck up. And you still talking. I'm off the bandwagon here. Because he invited you to all the smoke. When you say, I'm a bitch-ass nigga. I'm begging you to do it. I'm all these things. Come say it in person.
You really got to learn how to play chess, man.
So Kwame Brown is playing chess.
Look what he's managed to do.
Kwame Brown is playing chess.
Look, his YouTube page went from 3,000 followers to probably 100
by that. I mean, niggas love drama.
But not only is he capitalizing on the drama, he's selling t-shirts, and he's also empowering other men not to be bitch-ass niggas. And I love it.
That's easy.
Not being a bitch-ass nigga?
No, the way you saying he's empowering niggas. At the end of the day, if he's saying he calls niggas bitch-ass, all the other niggas, he was like, oh, yeah, bitch-ass nigga, But when it came to Matt, and Matt said, hey, yeah, okay, I got your business, nigga.
Let's talk about it in person.
He's like, nah, nigga, I ain't going.
His response to Matt was perfect. Because guess what? The nigga who they want to lock up is going to be him. Why the fuck would he get on the camera and say, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that? He said, yo, nigga. He said it perfectly. Yo, Matt, if you run up on me, if I see you in Atlanta, don't say nothing to me. If you do, I'm going to run across the street. Now, if you run up behind me while I'm running across the street, that's going to be your motherfucking ass. Perfect response. Perfect response. Because if it winds up in court, see, I don't know how much you've been in court, but shit like that matters. If it winds up in court, he's good to go.
No, so logistically, I understand what you're saying.
He basically said, he gave him fighting words. He gave him everything he wanted.
Because I will defend myself.
Yeah, he's
going to
stand my ground.
Matt Barnes
and I'm going to defend myself, but I'm
not going to
go all the way to
the ground. See, Matt Barnes has the backing of Showtime, right? Showtime, iHeartRadio, all of these entities, and probably the NBA are backing Matt Barnes because Matt Barnes is a part of the system. Kwame Brown ain't a part of the system. He's not protected by nobody. You don't have white people or nobody like that backing him.
Because he's nobody.
No, it's not that he's not a nobody. He's not a bitch yet. So you got to be a nobody. So to be a somebody, you got to have white people backing.
No, to be a somebody, you got to have. So
no, he's a real nigga. Matt, he's a stand-up black man.
So Matt and, not a and bitch Jack, Jack, so Matt and Jack not stand-up niggas?
I would say no.
On based upon what?
Based upon everything I've seen. None of these niggas are working goddamn. That's why
You just assassinated two men's character based upon.
I didn't assassinate him. God,
you just said
I'm a nobody.
I don't fuck with these bitch ass niggas.
I didn't say that.
You definitely did. Just go back and listen. So that's what I'm asking you. Why don't you fuck with Matt Barnes and things like you said they not stand up dudes or you wouldn't fuck with them. Why?
What you say.
Based all upon
right.
What?
So first of all, when it comes to Steven Jackson, right? Steven Jackson is a double-sided nigga. One minute, he's a gangster, he's rapping, he's got a gun, he's shooting niggas, all that, right? It's all in his head, right? The other minute,
so he does like rap music.
Oh, the other minute,
rap music.
He's a Black Lives Matter activist who's begging white people not to kill black people.
Never been.
Yes, he is.
All right, so let's
he was out. No. Hold up. No. Fuck that.
Boy, it's Frank George Floyd.
He didn't even know George Floyd.
He definitely
knew. He didn't know George Floyd. He never knew George Floyd.
He definitely knew George Floyd.
Research.
He knew. They knew.
So, okay. Show me.
His friend George Floyd.
Come on, that's his my friend daughter. George. And all that.
So him advocating for his friend makes him not a stand-up dude. Well, him rapping. Maybe he's not a stand-up dude?
I mean, listen, man.
So you just did what the Ben Shapiro would do or Rush Limbaugh.
I didn't
do you know, you just quoted a nigga rap lyrics.
What is that?
You quoted a nigga's rap lyrics.
They have a close connection to each other and conversation with ESPN's Mark Spears after he plays with Matt Floyd.
That shit don't sound right. Texas, they call him. That shit don't sound right. That shit don't sound right.
They have a common homeboy.
He's dead too.
So you know you did the white supremacy thing. You quoted a black man's rap lyrics and condemned him for it, right?
I'm about to start doing
that's what I'm saying. So advocate for his friend that got killed. Now he's a fake activist.
His
he's advocating for his friend that got killed.
Steven Jackson is from Port Arthur, Texas.
Port Arthur is pretty far from Houston.
30 minutes.
Cool. Steven Jackson was George Floyd's best friend.
So he advocated for a man because he advocated for a friend that got killed and because he rapped. This sounded like real white supremacists like talking to him.
No, you know
that's what they do. That's what Ben Shapiro does.
To be honest with you,
they do that in court. They break down the black, like, oh, he's sad.
To be honest with you, I just want to say this for the record. I can see through the phoniness of these celebrities, and honestly, it may come out the wrong way because I've been sipping a little bit. But like, I don't respect none of these whole ass niggas. Because they all hold niggas, and they all work for white folks, and they all keep the same narrative in play. And that's why I respect Kwame Brown, because he exposed it. That's why I respect him.
All right. Are you done?
No, I'm not done.
Let me know when you're done.
Because the real point I wanted to get at before we got off into this tangent is the question. Are we witnessing the rise of the black alpha myth? Why do I say that? You got a lot of guys emerging right now. You got Kevin Samuels emerging.
He's telling the truth.
He's not. I beg to differ. You got Kevin Samuels.
He doesn't have the mindset.
I would say he is. I don't know if you ever listened to a whole broadcast of his. Okay. So the nigga's serious. And everything that he's preaching, everything he's saying and telling niggas to do is alpha male shit. I mean, you know, just because y'all niggas ain't into, like, expensive colognes and shit like that, I get it. I don't do all that either. But the niggas, But nah, what I'm saying is the rise of the alpha male upon us.
I think the alpha male platform is definitely growing. We've reached peak lying to women. I think that's the thing. There's so many platforms.
I don't think you heard that.
Publications and platforms that have been built on painting the picture to women of what they want to hear versus what's actually going on.
Okay.
So then it's because at this point it's not adding up anymore. They've been reading and been told these things that should be happening, could be happening, is supposed to be happening based on all this advice they get from the Oprah, the all the daytime shows, the Essences, all these platforms set up to advertise and sell to black women, they realize all the shit they be telling me ain't working. The men are operating on completely different ways, right? So the women are waking up to, like, we can't be believing all these outlets that are getting paid just selling us bullshit. We got to tap into the men that are really telling us the truth. So to Kirk's point, I don't know if all these dudes are alpha males. They're just translating the truth of what we talking about in the barbershop, in the club, and when we get together. You know what I'm saying? These platforms are getting more rise. Number one, independent media in general.
Alpha male energy.
Yeah. Independent media in general is being built up. But the man is telling the real man's perspective, your alpha male, it's been elevated to the forefront now because it's the real. People are telling real things. Now, I don't agree with all things that get attributed to alpha male situations. Some of that shit is fucking toxic. But certain principles...
Don't be a hoe, dog.
Now, I keep it 100.
No, you
can't. I keep it 100.
Give me a
100. Some of that shit is toxic. Some of that shit is
toxic.
Important.
What kind of real niggas...
So if we can't acknowledge as men that some of the things we've been socialized to do, some of the things that we have been associated and brought up in are toxic, we can't grow as black people because a lot of our toxicity is actually rooted in white supremacy. Like, we're socialized to do some of the toxic shit that they do, like that's breaking up our black families. That's keeping us from raising our children in certain ways. We're following some of those ideals that are completely toxic. As opposed to us as black people
building
our families back up, understanding our roles as men and women, how we operate, and how we used to operate as black people, right? Some of the things we're socialized to do are toxic.
Our
music, some of our culture is socializing us to do toxic music.
Toxic all day.
So,
no argument.
So you can't, you guys, when we have this conversation in a serious way, we got to be able to split the toxic shit off from alpha male energy because in the media, in music, in television, those things get mixed together with no context.
You realize Kwame Brown just said the same thing in one of his rants the other day. The same thing.
I didn't say I disagree with everything he said.
He said the same fucking thing.
I never said I disagree with everything
he said. The fact that you sat there so calm and said it and just left it at that, like usually you want to argue, be like, Kwame said the same thing, and then you go off on something. He ain't had nothing to say because he literally did say just that. And niggas out here still disagreeing.
But look, when I opened the show, did I say he was wrong or anything? I was like, I was like 50% of the shit he was saying is
it's true.
That's something I agree with him.
Yeah,
I agree.
My only thing was like, I think Kwame Brown was the necessary evil to come out and expose a lot of these things that a lot of niggas don't see. From a lot of the people who we watch on TV and we think have our best interests at heart, and they don't. That's the main thing I got out of Kwame Brown shit. Fuck basketball. Fuck Matt Barnes and fuck Steven Jackson. Right? Fuck them. It was the contradictory shit that he pointed out and showed people that they don't even want to answer to at this point. All they want to do is say he's hurt. They don't want to answer any of the points that he brought up.
But they
don't want to talk about any of it.
But when you mix in conjecture or things that aren't true, like he's saying, all of us know the platform that tears down black people. That's false. If he actually watched any episode of All the Smoke, nigga, they big up in people.
Literally, he didn't specifically say all the smoke. He said all you bitch ass niggas do is tear down black people. And when he was saying that.
And that's false. That's false.
Most of that smoke is for Stephen A. Smith, and you know that if you listen to the rant.
But if you do that, you got to be...
No, but it's like this. If Stephen A. Smith is your man, and he riding for you against me, then fuck all y'all. You all tear down black men. I get it.
But if you trying to, like, he's quote unquote bring back the real or do it in a real way, if you gonna go at the nigga, you going that, you can't paint everybody with a blanket statement.
I say paint everybody with a blanket statement. I say shoot at the whole room.
But that's your credibility shot at that point.
No, it's not.
It is.
Black people are the only people expected to keep their credibility intact. Who gives a fuck? Nobody, no other race has no fucking credibility.
So we got
fuck credibility. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Stop Asian hate
has no credibility.
But
everybody still respects it. You know why? Because they don't give a fuck. You know why? Because if you walk in the room, anybody can fucking get it. But niggas want to walk on eggshells around everything. Let everybody get it.
The consensus on stop Asian hate.
If we really took
the consensus on that, niggas ain't really fucking.
Nigga.
Or as a whole, niggas ain't really fucking.
I don't give a, okay, so you get what
Kurt,
I'm saying.
What you say?
It's not about niggas really
niggas
give,
that, on the whole, niggas is that wasn't really fucking.
Listen to me, dog. It's not about whether niggas.
Stop Asian hate. He was like,
hold up, man.
I'm like, niggas ain't really fucking.
I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah, niggas
wasn't fucking. No, what I'm saying is, it doesn't fucking matter whether niggas was listening to it or not, or niggas cared or liked it.
It does matter.
The point is, Asian people got their point across, and they didn't give a fuck who was in the room or who got hit. If you was halfway sidestepping or even siding with a nigga who wasn't with us, you Asian hate, and you getting hit with the smoke. That's the point.
You know they about to be with that with the anti-Semitism too.
They've been like that.
But if you come out the backwoods, you came off your track to out of the backwoods, out of the sticks, and you start tearing down. What she's saying is that these people are on TV tearing down black people, right? That was the premise of his argument, right? Then you can't paint everybody with that broad brush. You can't paint Steve and you can't paint Jack and them doing that because that's not what they do.
You know why you can't? Because
that's not what they do.
You know why you can't? Because it started with them And then all the famous people who turned out black men came to their aid. So fuck all y'all.
So once again, he's paying these people who don't do that.
Doesn't
that's
matter.
Why you
doesn't matter.
Charlamagne.
Doesn't matter, bro.
Charlamagne gives
black people.
Black
always,
people
we gotta be careful.
Black people left, right, center, whether you agree or not agree, put black people in. Period.
All right, man.
Period. So for him to say that is a patently false statement.
Okay.
It's patently false. So I agree with his criticism of Stephen A. Smith. I completely agree with him. 100%. Right? 100%. But this shit don't exist in a fucking vacuum. You can't all these niggas. No. This like the niggas can come and say, nigga, you a bum, we don't care about you. The same thing he was upset about, he was in his feelings about, he turned around and do. You look weak as fuck doing that. You look weak.
I got you. Kurt, what are your final thoughts? An excellent point.
My birthday is in 21 days.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean that rain event shit.
Juneteenth is in 30 days.
That's your man. Look at that.
And,
that's your man.
y'all don't realize what just happened.
I didn't want to say that.
No. Oh, that would have been perfect.
But and shout out to Alvin Mills, Quandre Brown.
Okay.
I don't got much more.
Digital.
First off, shout out to everybody who tuned in today. Every live ad, we appreciate you sticking with it and holding it down. We're about to go on an unprecedented run in the summertime.
Okay.
With straight talk, no tape, and all other things that we're doing. So, strap on to the rocket, we're going to the fucking moon. When it comes to today's topic, shout out, let's go with Kwame first. Shout out Kwame Bama. Kwame came out the woodwork, holding down for real Southern black male energy. You know what I'm saying? Anti-everything is not that. It was a breath of fresh air. It's just be careful criticizing the things that you hate, but then you become it, right? When you talk about men gossiping, when you talk about men doing this, doing that, but you get caught up in the media hype and you get caught up in the squirrel, and next thing you know, you on live every day talking about other men, talking about other men, talking about some marriage, talking about other things. You start to become the things that you supposedly hate. So just be careful with that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta drop your opinion and keep it pushing. When it comes to Umar gambling and the FBNB money, we thought it was coming.
This
train is headed.
I'm going to be out there rolling dice.
This train is headed towards the brick wall fast, and it's not going to be pretty when it hits the wall. What's the other topic?
PPP.
When it comes to PPP, look me up. Come on in.
I got mine. Get yours.
If you're a legitimate business, don't miss this opportunity. If you're an independent contractor and you need access to capital, you got to take advantage, because one thing that holds our community back is access to capital. One thing that this PPP program did is level the playing field with giving people access to capital. Now you got to go about it the right way. Don't be lying on your fucking forms, putting all these exorbitant numbers. You're saying you're making $30,000 a month, but you're also telling the government you're on food stamps. You're saying to the government, I made $20,000 a month, but you're in subsidized housing. You're saying I made $30,000 a month, you got free health care. All these things, you can't do that, right? If you're going to get your money, go get your money. Get it the right way and do the right thing. Get it. and build your business. You know what I'm saying? Do something positive.
Facts.
It was one more.
I think that was it.
Now we have one
more. On the alpha male shit.
Oh yeah. Don't confuse all alpha male energy with the right thing to do, man. Understand what you follow, understand what you believe in. Also, we ain't talking about Palestine, man. Free Palestine. If you turn a blind eye to white supremacy in other countries, you're not serious about dealing with white supremacy.
Some Palestinians identify as white.
They got to do anything.
You just had to interrupt my time. You couldn't help yourself. You couldn't help yourself. I'll address that real quick. It's black people who identified as white throughout the civil rights movement, throughout every area that they could have. So we can't make our judgment based upon that thing. Because we look at Zionism, the current government of Israel is based upon white supremacy. So if you turn a blind eye to white supremacy in other countries, you turn in a blind eye to white supremacy in your own backyard. So
you probably get a thing at another. 3 minutes in front of
me. Pay attention. Go. And I gotta go now.
I'll
expand on that a little bit, right? So do your research into how Israel was founded, right? 1942. Go back to the war and see how Israel was created, how the land was annexed, and you'll understand it's a colonizing situation, right? Black and Arab people have not always had the greatest relationship. I would acknowledge that. But we also have to acknowledge when genocide is happening, when ethnic cleansing is happening, right? Because it's no coincidence that our largest military aid partner is Israel. Close to $2 billion a year is sent to Israel. And look how small this country is. Look at their place, but their geographically placed in the Middle East where we need to control. So the reason why we send them $2 billion, right? That's our little pit bull watchdog in the Middle East. This state was created for that purpose, and they're serving their purpose right now. But you can't turn a blind eye to white supremacy because that same white supremacy is going to be in your backyard. That's my final thought.
That's a fact, man. Yo, my final thoughts are going to go brief this week. First off, PPP loans. You're an idiot if you don't have them. Number two, Umar Johnson. Criminal. He's gambling with your fucking donations. 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 He's gambling. 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 Black boys. Black boys. Black boys. As far as Palestine and Israel go, and I didn't know we were talking about that. Look, I don't get involved in white supremacy and their spats. Reparations for black Americans, period. The rest of y'all motherfuckers can figure it out. Now, when it comes to tonight's topics, I want to make a few things clear. Number one, I support Kwame Brown to the fullest. And I believe every single one of these individuals that he talked about tonight are complicit in the bringing down of black men. They are complicit. They are complicit. And the deviation of order in our community. And what do I mean by the deviation of order? There's no other group in America who isn't led by their men. Why? It's not because men are better than women. It's because men are stronger than women. So if you have a group of people who let the women lead, guess what? They're going to get slaughtered because they're not the woman's role. Period. I don't give a fuck how you want to slice it up and how you want to bake it and cook it. You're going to lose anytime your woman is at the forefront of all your shit. Look at the Congressional Black Caucus. You can look at Black Lives Matter. You can look at it all. Women live off security. If the men aren't providing that security for the women, what are we talking about? Now, this is what I want to do. First of all, let me say shout out to Kwame Brown and shout out to Kevin Samuels, because they're at the forefront of the Black Alpha Male movement at this point. Who would have thought, right? So right now, I want to give you guys the top five things that a real alpha Black male doesn't give a fuck about. Number one, we don't give a fuck about the Democratic Party. Now, we don't give a fuck about Republicans either. But a lot of you alpha females, quote unquote, want to shove that party down our throats. Pause. And we don't agree with at least 75% of the shit they want for us as Black people. So stop throwing the fucking Democratic Party in our face. We don't give a fuck about that. We don't give a fuck about the Republicans either. We damn sure don't give a fuck about the Democrats. Number two, we don't give a fuck about Black girl magic. If you know magic, snap your fingers. No. This is what I want y'all to do. No, because first of all, it's a divisive term. It's a divisive term. Yo, if you know magic, no. This is what I want. I want all the Black women in the world, well, even the ones that are watching the show, or the ones, doesn't matter. Snap your fingers twice, close your eyes, click your heels, and get rid of white supremacy. You can't fucking do it. You can play tennis, you can sing, you can write poetry, and you can do all this other bullshit to get white people paid. That's Black girl magic. But Black girl magic doesn't end white supremacy. So miss me with that bullshit. Ain't no Black man magic either. The magic happens when we get together and move forward. So there's no magic on either side. But Black girl magic is a fucking myth, and I wish you would stop saying it, because it doesn't help us do anything besides get white people paid. Number three.
You said number three, but put four fingers.
Number three. I mean, goddamn, it's 1738. Number three on the top five list of things that real Black alpha men don't give a fuck about. Number three. We don't give a fuck about the Me Too movement. Fuck y'all. Go find a white man that did it first. You got a long list before you get to us. Fuck y'all. Number four. I can only speak for myself, but I'm pretty sure the rest of us feel the same way. I don't give a fuck about being called misogynist. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Call me a misogynist. Call me whatever you want. Just get my goddamn sandwich ready. And make sure the motherfucker is doing shit. And listen. Number five.
He did what I do then. How you count down or count up?
Number five, the top five things that real alpha men don't give a fuck about. Just shout out to my nigga Future. You don't give a fuck about being called toxic. I don't give a fuck. Toxic. Toxic. Ladies, understand this. It's 2021, almost 2022. We've seen the light. You've had the keys If there are there keys to a freight train? Anyway, you got keys to the train for long enough. Hand the keys over to real men, please. You're running us into the fucking ground. You're running us into the motherfucking ground. Let the men be what we're born to be. Leaders. Support us. And guess what? If the men of the society can lead and move forward, guess what you get to do? You don't have to worry about doing the thing that we got to do. You don't have to worry about working a 9-to-5. You don't have to worry about taking care of the whole family. So guess what you get to do? You get to lead the children and get them back on track. Because if we lead the household and you lead the children, everybody's going where they're supposed to be. This has been Straight Talking with Chase for myself, Cosmic Digital, and Kirk Keys. We will see you when we motherfucking see you. Godspeed. Shit, y'all. Say what? It wasn't ever on the first place. Yo.
Oh. That was some dumb shit, but I swear I picked that joint up from right there.
That was fun. I had a good time, man.
I had a good time. Curtain and Costco face now.
Yo. No, what's the point of fucking shit?
No, just call me. Nigga ain't trying to move this foot or nothing.
I didn't see it. Never mind. My fault for that one.
shit, like, man.
Are they keys for free charge?
You got keys for the truth. For a long time. Take the keys on the truth right there, please. You're not going to the fucking room.
They rushed him and bought the story of Breakfast Club. How did he do that?
That's the thing. People were going to be leaders. Support us. And guess what? If the men of the society can lead and perform, guess what you need to do? You don't have to worry about doing the thing that we have to. You don't have to worry about working.
That's true shit.
Mm-hmm. The shit is true. There's many rich out here.
You're gonna post that clip, at least re-record it for the
nigga, don't tell me how to market the shit.
I know, but I just
tell me how to motherfucking market. I seen the Epic Rank coming. That's about to be the lead, right? But hey, well, you got the double two. I was like, I gotta record this. Double two. Somebody, you just gonna say fuck somebody.
I said fuck me too. Oh man,
yeah, double down with that Black Girl Magic one.
It's odd because you know what, man? Like, I don't think. Oh, dude, they got it.
I don't think you separated the difference between things that are inspirational and things that are, like, physically practical sometimes. But inspiration can turn into practicality.
I'm out of here.
It's like, you ain't think that fucking, that go-go shit can inspire anything. That shit had niggas really voting on the shit.
Okay.
Real legislation. Yo, sometimes you got to...
You think go-go had niggas really voting?
Yeah, it did.
I had niggas right.
Nah, that shit had niggas voting, bro.
Yo, let me ask y'all this hope for you, Walker.
Yeah,
so listen, what's the best way to do this? Because, I mean...
The best way
to
do
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
I could do... I absolutely can't
do Wednesday.
I could do Tuesday, though.
Only reason I ask is because if we're going to keep a consistent audience... We gotta,
of course, yeah.
We gotta put out consistent shit. And what I'm saying is it's gotta be a little early. If we would have recorded more than 10 earlier than 10:30, I think, you know, and honestly, it don't mean nothing because even with a little traction we get on Facebook, it's cool. But we gotta consistently do that to even get our audience really to go over to YouTube. You know what I mean? So, Tuesday is the best day for you?
Yeah, I still got practice on Tuesday.
Tuesday or Monday, you said?
Right? I practice, yeah.
Tuesday or Monday?
Monday.
Okay. So, we can change it to Tuesday or Monday.
I'm super free Monday.
All right. Well, let's do Mondays and the Tuesdays when we have to.
All right. Mondays for short day. Tuesday, be a flex day.
Even though when football season starts, it's a bad idea.
Monday night football.
Well, you know what, niggas ain't watching football.
Niggas, I don't know about it.
Do 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 do.
Thank you.